This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, the defense was great, but the dancing, not so much.
So bad.
On the Bears. The Bears Super Bowl shuffle. With Coach Dicka, who would win a race between Secretariat and Dicka? If Dicka gave him a 50-yard head start, Dicka. There's one of the greatest of all time.
Walter Payton was unbelievable. And I'm a Packer fan, but I grew up idolizing Walter Payton. That man.
I liked watching him run.
That was a real man running the football right there.
Yeah, good
times. That was like Jim Brown, which we all didn't get a chance to see. But that's what everything you heard of Jim Brown, Walter Payton epitomized the way he ran because he did not run away from contact.
Yeah, sweetness.
Yeah, no question. You want to hit P. Randizzle's tweet because it's all world.
Patrick Randall sends us or tags us on a tweet that says his favorite Way Back Wednesday contribution, and it's Mike Tyson, and he's in a studio. And he tweets out, in studio, dropping heat, wait and see what this is about. Innocent enough, except people start tweeting to Mike song ideas like Too Much Thoughts. Are you making a diss track? Dropping some serious heat, Mike. What the thong about?
What the thong about?
Dreamcatcher so 5, Bath and Boothie.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. That is so good. Oh, I'm sorry. That's so good.
So good. Now you're going to do it the rest of the show.
I was thinking about it. I'm sorry.
Back on the usual suspects. This is Mike Tyson.
This is a good way to get to your ear, bit, Joe.
You guys better understand. I'm just bringing straight fire.
What a great tweet. That dude, he's still unstable, I believe. He's still
pretty.
Well,
there's no doubt.
But I do want to, I wouldn't mind. Like, I'm not a big, So, you know, wrestlers like Jake the Snake Roberts is touring.
Okay.
And he's doing shows at comedy clubs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mankind. What was his name?
Isn't that your stage name?
No.
No?
What the hell was Mankind's name?
You got me.
Mick Foley as a wrestler. And he's doing shows.
I thought he was a kicker.
No, he's doing shows and, you know, as a former wrestler, and it's supposedly
and they're comedy shows?
Well, in as much as it's done at a comedy club, but it's not real comedy. They tell stories. Some of them might be humorous to, like, wrestle dorks, but it's not stand-up comedy. It's not
wrestle dorks.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I heard, wrestle dorks.
It's not set-up punchline, set-up punchline.
They come out all baby-oiled up with their
yeah, he comes out and he does the sock, because wasn't that Socko? Was Mick Foley's thing?
Oh, yeah, he did do the sock.
Yeah, so he comes out and he tells stories with sock. No, I'm just kidding, he doesn't. I don't know if he does.
I have no idea.
But I've heard his show is decent, but a lot of these guys do those, and Mike Tyson has one, but Mike Tyson is actually out there telling stories that are hilarious.
Didn't he? Is this the same thing? He did a one-man Broadway show.
That's the thing. Okay. Yeah. And he tells stories of his life. And he was on, I think he was on Kimmel and told a story on Kimmel. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember the whole story. I just remember laughing my ass off at him telling the story.
Yeah.
Because he's so awkward and weird, and you realize that he's not all together there to begin with.
What tipped you off? Tattooing half your face?
Biting someone's ear.
Biting your ear? I mean, we go
I'll
on.
I'll eat your kid for breakfast. Like, yeah, you're not.
The carrier pigeon collection?
Dude.
That seems to make its way all across the city?
Isn't that great that he's really into pigeons? Like,
yeah.
Really?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I just, what an interesting
dude.
And he
gets aggravated when he loses. It's hilarious.
I see, and now I would go, like, I don't really want to go watch Mick Foley or Jake the Snake Roberts tell stories, but I would absolutely go and watch Mike Tyson tell stories, because he's crazy enough to be funny, I feel like.
Now, I know people that have hired him for appearances, and kind of to your point, they say, you know, when he's meeting and greeting the public, he's very generous, kind, upbeat, but that they have to give him a certain amount of breaks so that he can go into a secluded area and, I don't want to say...
Medicate?
Self-medicate himself a little bit.
Hmm.
Just to keep him happy.
Like
to keep him happy.
go medicate, as in if he was in Denver or Colorado, it would
exactly.
be okay?
Or Washington. Okay. Or, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Totally.
But you know what? There never has a guy who you thought was going to go dead set off the rails, who at a time did, keep it close to on the rails for this length of period of time. I don't think anybody betting would have said Mike Tyson's going to end up stable enough to be able to be in movies like The Hangover.
Yeah, he's and
gonna,
do well.
Yeah, do a one-man Broadway show, going to still be out there, you know, on the autograph scene, doing all these different things. I don't think a lot of people thought that he was going to be set for anything other than jail because of the fact that he had spent that time.
Seriously.
Okay. My, had to get one more
my brother-in-law, Alex Lucio, texted me, stop it. And then Lenny's on here. You guys are going to get your ass kicked. Like, everybody's piling on. It's great. No, I would go. I would go see that, though. There's, like I said, I'm not a big non-comedy stike, you know, shows like that. But yeah. I would go see that, though. I think that would be tremendous.
I've heard it got good reviews.
Yeah, I don't remember what story he told. I do know that there was a comic that told a story about him being on a plane with Mike Tyson. And he talks about meeting Mike Tyson. And then Mike's like, you know, they introduce each other and he's like, yeah, I'm in the city you're doing it. He's like, oh, well, I should come out. And he's like, wait a minute, did you just ask me for tickets? Like, to you should come. So he gave him tickets. And then he's sitting there on the plane and Mike like bumps his chair and he goes, hey, you're hilarious. And he was like, what? He was watching his Netflix. He was watching his special. And so he starts talking to him. He's like, yeah, Mike, I'm kind of like trying to like, he's like, leave me alone, Mike. Like,
really?
It's a really funny story. I've got to find out who it was, but it's a really good story about meeting Mike Tyson on a plane. I'll see if I can find it and tweet out the video because I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
That's cool. Like, but and I'm surprised too by the amount of people that want his autograph.
He's Tyson? The most likable dude, despite all the things he's done.
Was he at the Radio Row for the fights?
He was not, but we've had him on SB Nation Radio when we were had a partnership with the Venetian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did an interview with Matt Peralt drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was drunk, Matt Peralt or Tyson?
No, Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
If Matt Peralt was drunk, he would have been fired. But Mike, he came to the studio lit.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But was he funny?
Yeah, everybody said he was great. Like, he was so personable with people. I mean, we had great names. We had Chris Paul. We had Paul Pierce there, too. I mean, we had great names that week.
All drunk. Big. I'm just spreading rumors now.
Chris Paul wasn't going to be drunk because he had to do his little ping pong charity event he does every year over there. So he's not going to be drunk.
Show, by the way, is a rumor after you broke the Owen Daniels story. Stop it. Once you broke that, you became Mark Berman Jr. We're calling you Scoop Jr.
Chance,
from now on.
Chan on Twitter said, I would love to listen to a podcast show with Juggalo Trey and Mike Tyson.
Oh, that would be entertaining. That would be hilarious. Good. You might need a mediator, but that would be funny.
It's like, who can have the most annoying voice is what it would be.
Hey, so are you upset that you never got to see Ali? Like, did you ever see that like you never fought him?
Do you like Oasis? No, I don't like Oasis.
So we can do Barry and Joel doing Trey and Mike Tyson in a podcast.
I've never heard of Oasis. I'll eat your children, though, for breakfast.
I'm asexual. I don't have children, so you can't
do
that.
You don't have
that.
Sex?
Oh, you wrecked me.
That's
I wasn't
just
supposed
weird.
To say that.
Oh, that would be so good. Hey, here's something, and I think Nick has info, but Pepper Brooks on Twitter said, hearing rumblings of Melo again, what do you think Houston is offering for him? I don't know what he's offering for him, but what are the rumblings?
The only rumblings I know is that his representation is quote-unquote cautiously optimistic about Carmelo Anthony being a Houston Rocket by Monday.
Monday! And Monday! So, Monday!
Jared Jack is out there saying all 15 members of the team that have been invited to training camp have been working out with one exception. Melo is in the city. They've heard he's working out, but he's working out down the block at a Manhattan gym separate from his teammates. And then the rumors abound that they're going to get something done. Now, I've talked to people within the organization that said, in their opinion, if it was going to get done, they thought it already would have gotten done and that the Rockets are already going full board ahead with who they have. But I don't think from a standpoint of, to your question, Barry, of who do you offer up, I don't think they offer up much more than Ryan Anderson simply because of the fact that you still got to keep somewhat of a rotation together of other players and a supporting cast with that team.
Yeah, I mean, you can't mortgage everything to right? get a guy.
Doesn't it defeat the purpose yep. if you go up and give two or three more of your rotational players to get a Carmelo so you can have, you know, three-fifths of a starting lineup that are really all-world, but when it gets down to it, when it comes down to
no
what's
depth.
Your rotation, yeah, you got no, you know, did you say, what'd you say, depth?
Yeah, depth. You got no depth.
Yeah, no depth. But yeah.
Theoretically.
That could theoretically be a big problem and obstruction when you get to the playoffs. So that could be an issue.
I think their options are limited at this point. So it's like when you have a situation, I feel like with this deal with Carmelo, it's like it's not going to be a good deal for New York, but they're going to have to do it. It's going to be an unorthodox, like not a traditional deal, and it's just going to have to work. Like Justin Verlander, I didn't think he'd become an Astro, but the deadline came around, and there was very limited number of teams that he wanted to play for, very limited teams that was actually going to get him. They had to make a deal. It was unorthodox. It wasn't necessarily a traditional way about doing it, but
do the Knicks have to make a deal?
I don't think they have to.
I don't.
But when reports keep resurfacing, I feel like Carmelo's in their ear all the time.
I was going to say, do you want that though? Do you want an unhappy Carmelo that doesn't want to be there and wants out playing on a team that you know is going to be crappy as opposed to making a move? It's kind of like with the whole Kyrie thing. The Indians didn't have to make a move with sure. Kyrie, but did the Cavs, they didn't have to make a move with Kyrie, but it made sense to do that when the player comes out and says that. And I think Melo making it known that he wants out, it makes sense. To me, as far as assets go, the deal to me is going to hinge on the third party. Like who's getting what? Because somebody's going to have to absorb, like you said, if it's Ryan Anderson. There's got to be a draft pick involved, I'm guessing, where this team is going to get Ryan Anderson to absorb some sort of salary for whatever reason, and the Knicks are going to get a draft pick out of it. That would make sense.
My biggest thing is don't make a move for the sake of having to feel like you have to make a move. It's got to make you better for the future and or do something for you, too. As much as he may be unhappy, if what you get for him doesn't make you better in the long term and give you options in the short term, then it's not worth making the deal.
Yeah.
Detroit had to get out from under that contract for Verlander. Otherwise, they were strapped for the next 3 years. So that opened up some freedom. The Knicks still got a lot of bad contracts circulating around that team. So you got to get something that can help you kind of now, too. I don't know that Ryan Anderson helps anybody that much right now. They're actually doing you a favor if they take that $20 million on, regardless of what he can do for you on the floor.
I mean, don't you fear, though, that if he lives up to expectations but he doesn't do it here, then what? Because, I mean, he still has the potential to be that stretch four.
Well, then Matt Bullard's
an all-star.
And
play a lot better. You know what I mean?
And then Matt Bullard can be an all-star.
All right.
We'll see. All right, so the rumor's out there. Melo on the radar again. What, Monday, Nick, the deadline? Are they saying it could happen by Monday?
They said it could happen by Monday.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Kelly Iko will be on it and be all over it for us on social media. So follow us on Twitter. As our interns, they stick to that story like glue.
Shout out to Marcus White. It was Tom Segura who told the story about meeting Mike Tyson on an airplane. So he tweeted it to me. I've retweeted it. So if you want to see the bit.
He's a good stand-up
comic. Yeah, it's worth a listen because it's hilarious if you haven't heard it.
My favorite bit of his is the first 48. When he does his bit on the first 48, it's
yeah.
hilarious.
Yeah, Tom Segura is good.
There you have it. All right, so we continue to roll on almost to the midway point, but still plenty more show to go. So don't go anywhere, and please feel free to join us, be one of our usual suspects. 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
A classic, the Blues Brothers, an album that was very, very popular start to finish based on a movie. Crazy that Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi took characters that they essentially created while working on Saturday Night Live, created a band, created a movie, and then the album itself featuring this, and the number one hit off of that for them was Soul Man. But the album took off based on just characters they created and a band that went with it.
Yeah.
And they wrote the movie.
Yeah. I've watched it. I want to say that I really enjoyed it. It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't like there was a big plot and all that.
I almost feel like it's sacrilegious doing what I do to say, I didn't really. But because so many people are just.
A lot of cameos in it.
Yeah, and people just love Belushi and, you know, Aykroyd and all that. But now, it was just okay for me.
Now Jim Belushi is touring with Aykroyd as the Blues Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen them at the House of Blues.
All aboard the gravy train.
Yeah, still making cash.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jim Belushi should have stuck with that show that was doing so well for all those years, and then he...
What was that? World According to Jim or something like that?
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah.
Speaking of comedy.
Yep, which you might know a thing or two.
Hey, can I give away some tickets to my show this weekend?
Nick, you've given him permission?
Yeah, Nick, is that all right?
I guess.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you say no, then I won't do it. But no, I'm performing at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase this weekend. It's located on 45 South at Fuquay. I've got four shows, Friday night and Saturday night. So let's give away a pair of tickets to the Friday 8 p.m. show this Friday. What is that, the 22nd? Yeah, this Friday, September 22nd, 8 o'clock. Here's the deal. You're going to call and you're going to give your name, email, and cell phone, and I'll leave the information at the will call. So all you do is walk up to the box office, and the tickets will be waiting for you. Be caller number 10, 713-780-3776.
You'll be talking to intern Trey, so bear with him.
Yeah, you'll be talking to Trey, and please go slow and spell out your name because he writes with his foot, and it's illegible.
Actually, I got to tell him to write it legibly because you probably won't even be able to read it.
No. So 713-780-3776, caller number 10, you'll get a pair of tickets that'll be waiting for you at Will Call for Friday, 8 p.m. at the Joke Joint. Come out, have a good time. Michael Malone is the headliner. He's hilarious. And also, I'm going to do it on Twitter. So if you're not following me on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, go find the tweet that just says RT this by 4 p.m. and I'll give away a pair of tickets and you can just RT that. But you got to be following me. Don't just RT it and not be following me. I'm not going to, you know, you won't win. So
Nick,
out there.
Follow Barry so that you can.
I don't even think Nick
tickets.
Follows me on Twitter.
I follow all Gal Media people that follow me back. If you don't follow me back, you get the unfollow.
Who here doesn't follow you back? Let me guess.
Go ahead.
So we know Barry Warner doesn't have a Twitter, but
yes,
it would
does.
Be Barry. No,
so
it's not his.
It was Barry Warner. Barry Warner was one of them,
but he doesn't
Kirsten
use that.
Got on his account and followed me.
Okay,
because we both like got onto him about that, and then she followed. Like,
I would have said Granato.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I unfollowed him too. That's what he gets.
Yeah.
If
you're part of the Gal Media family, down to the intern, I will follow you.
Creighton follow you?
Straight up.
Yes.
He's
part of the Gal Media family.
Time out. I don't know about the interns.
I follow a lot of the interns.
Barry's anti-intern anyway.
I'm not.
I follow a lot of the interns.
I do too. I'm with you.
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm not against your mentality. Like, you're right. Like, especially
like follow,
if they go.
Yeah, I'll follow
I might give
Trey,
you unfollow.
Because Trey's funny.
Kelly.
Quentin and a few others. I follow Belinda because she's great on Sundays.
Yeah. I follow Belinda as well.
But, you know, like, I haven't met a lot of these new interns that are out there.
Right.
I haven't been introduced to them.
You.
They hide from me. Yes. Why would they do
because
that?
Because your reputation precedes
my reputation
you.
For what? For putting.
Being an intern here.
Putting them on the air if they're funny?
Or putting them on notice if they're not.
Well, don't call the show. That's stupid.
Amongst other things.
Yeah, don't call the show. That's, don't do that.
Okay.
That's a little far. But okay. Somebody texted the show and said, hey, read my text. So there you go.
Well done, Barry.
I think they were referring to another text, but they didn't say which text they wanted me to read. So that's the one I'm reading for them. Hey, read my text. So you're welcome.
Trey is in there and says, okay, so this person wins, but if I get tickets and I go, will Mike Tyson be there? Because I want to meet him.
Now, did he say Thursday? Tyson is a great autograph meet and greet when I went. And this is a texter. Oh, this is Triola Oz. Tyson is a great autograph meet and greet. When I went, he spent extra time with the family in front of us to sit down and sing along and play with the little kids.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a
That's
Tyson
great.
Thing,
yeah,
though,
it does.
Right? And then he tried to eat them. No.
Jeez.
Maybe not. Okay. But yeah, Triller Oz says he's a cool.
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
So good.
I want to eat his children. Oh, God.
Impregnable.
Yeah. My defenses are impregnable. Wait a minute. You just these aren't gloves, these are condoms. You can't get past this. He's so good. He's awesome though. I if he comes to town, we're going. I've decided. We're
to
all
the show?
Gonna go. Yeah, we're gonna go.
Okay.
I'll figure out how to get us tickets. We're gonna go.
All right.
That's gonna happen.
That.
Okay. I'm gonna look it up right now. Mike Tyson World Tour. When is he coming to town?
So I know that this was out there. I know Granato kicked this around a little bit with Sean. But I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Pat Neshek, I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
Neshek, the reliever for the Astros, was traded in the offseason to Philadelphia, is a huge autograph collector. And he has targeted for a long time Zach Greinke, who he said is tough to get to, and Greinke is not normally the most willing to sign autographs. So they were both at the All-Star game. And as the story goes, Neshek says he discussed it with him at the time that, hey, when we meet you guys later in the season, I'm going to have a couple cards for you to sign. He thinks that Grinky's cool with it. They end up meeting up, and it doesn't go as planned. Greinke won't sign. Says he doesn't remember the All-Star conversation. Neshek is kind of upset because he even threatened to use his son as a pawn to go get the autographs because he thought that Greinke had a problem with him. So Neshek actually puts together a social media post in which he explains what happens, but he basically calls him out and said, I asked him at the All-Star game if he'd sign for me. He said he would. So a couple of weeks later, we played them. I pulled the cards out. I needed him to sign because basically I have three league leader cards, him and Clayton Kershaw, him and Adam Wainwright. Wainwright and Kershaw already signed. I only need you to put a scribbled Z on there if that's what you want to do, but I wanted to get the autograph. He not only said no, when I asked him why, he said, because I wear him out.
That's great.
So he said,
truth hurts.
Seriously, these signatures would only take 5 seconds. Just draw the little Z. So I walked away. A couple minutes later, I confronted him in the outfield while he was jogging on the warning track, and I told him what I thought of him. He just kept running. I guess it's part of that deal where he has that kind of awkwardness because he said he doesn't like a lot of things in public. But he said, I wasn't done. I wanted to laugh, knowing he probably thought that the whole thing for a long time was a joke, but it was the best thing that I could come up with. Regardless, he was not happy.
Well,
there's kind of an unwritten rule amongst players with players. You sign for other players.
Is there?
Yeah.
But do you hound other players for it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess you shouldn't make them beg, right?
Yeah, it's... You would think that it's kind of like an unwritten rule.
Like, look, you see Nick laughing? You're watching the video, aren't you?
It's great, though.
He's dancing like Steve Martin right now.
I suggested this one.
Yeah, this
King
is a good,
by
good
Steve
call.
Martin. Another
definitely
one from,
a good call.
From Saturday Night Live skit.
Does he have the arrow in his head? No, he's got the... Is it the arrow in his head or
he's
the
got
Egyptian
the
thing? Yeah, that's right.
The Tutankhamun headdress, right?
Yeah. Okay, now I'm scared.
So would you sign my Barry is Funny poster?
Absolutely.
If I it in?
I'll sign your koozie. I sell koozies at my shows. I'll sign it for you. I've had people ask me to sign them before.
Sell
I'm like
koozies?
Yeah. A lot of comics sell merchandise.
Yeah, but koozies?
Yeah. Because it's easy to travel with. And everyone drinks beer. Makes sense.
Nick, do you have a Barry koozie?
I do not, but I would totally buy one.
See?
Wow.
Somebody said Tyson's in town today, and now I feel like I'm going to be murdered. I hope to God he's not listening to this show.
He's in town today?
He's in town.
I'm totally making a promo out of
oh
that exchange.
Oh, my God.
With you two, so, yeah, if
a lot
he hears
of people
it.
Like that exchange with Trey and Tyson.
Well, it was you and him.
Yeah,
basically.
That's what I mean.
I don't want to die now. Oh, God, that scares me to death. That's not good. I'm legit worried.
You're
going
to be looking over your shoulder on the way to the car tonight?
What's the deal with that? Take me to that station. Oh, no, please don't come up here. Please. I'll be like, that was Joel.
I like to find Barry is funny. Where's this Barry is funny?
Maybe he'll let me open for him. Yeah, after I beat your ass.
I remember okay. When Kimbo Slice came to, you know, rest in peace, before he passed. But like when he came to the studio,
yeah,
man, I said, if this guy gets mad in a half a second, we're all dead.
We're going to die.
We're all dead.
Yep.
That would be funny.
For sure.
All right, so that was Steve Martin, King Tut, part of our Way Back Wednesday. We're at the midway point. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. Lots of stories lined up and ready to get to. And if there's something on your mind, please join us and let us know. 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Little 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto, actor, but actually a very popular band with a lot of circles. 30 Seconds to Mars. I'm not sure you're one of those people, Barry. Ethan.
I mean, I think I've listened to some of their songs before.
But this group right here, this album, it'll stand the test of time. But My Bloody Valentine and then Oasis.
Somebody asked how much are tickets to the show. To my show, not Tyson's show. I have no idea how much Tyson's are. They're probably expensive. But somebody asked how much are tickets to my comedy show. They are $14 for general admission and $19 for premium seating, which just means you get to sit up front. So that's how much they are.
So joke, throw things at you.
Yeah, well, you might
like
get
a line.
Yeah, a lot of people are scared to sit up front at a comedy show because they feel like they're going to get made fun of.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. Like, a lot of comics will talk to you, but depending on what you say is how, if you're trying to be funny, then you're probably going to get made fun of for trying to be funny. If you heckle, you're definitely going to get, you'll be on a YouTube video somewhere. But if you just, a lot of times it'll just be like, hey, how long have you guys been married? Or are you guys married? And then, how long? And then they'll use that to go into a bit. But they don't usually, especially at this place, like at the Joke Joint, they don't really encourage the comedians to pick on people in the front row because it's kind of like a stripper stage almost.
Actually, I would be less afraid to sit in the front in that venue, in that particular dynamic, because of what you just mentioned. It's a smaller venue, and they get tired of people heckling them to begin with. But once I went to see George Lopez at the Toyota Center, basically the entire 3 hours, he killed the guy up front.
Really?
He killed him. Oof. Like, if I paid that much money for those upfront tickets,
you'd be mad, huh?
I'd be mad.
But
dude,
am I not wrong, Barry, in saying this? Am I right by saying this, that George Lopez is one of those guys, like, he does not stand for, tolerate hecklers at all? It really, like, gets to him.
Most guys at his level are like that.
Is that
I
right?
mean, I think I've told the story about Louis C.K. throwing a drunk chick in the balcony at Jones Hall out. Like, he stopped his show because she yelled something, and he was like, who was that? He's like, don't do it again. And then he kept going. Then she yelled it again. And he stops the show. He goes, turn the lights on. Somebody point her out. And they did. And security went and got her, threw her out, turned the lights down. The show continued. A lot of them don't play that because it ruins the show for other people.
Wow.
But, like, there are people, because the Joke Joint is my home club. So a lot of times I'll sit in the box office and talk to the owners, Ken or whatever. And people, so I'll be in there when people come up to buy tickets or to get seated. And he'll be like, all right, you're sitting up front. And most people be like, no, I don't want to sit up front. I don't want to get made fun of or teased. And he'll tell them, we don't do that here. Like, most of our comics, they don't do that. And most don't. Like, trust me, we don't want you to be part of the show. It should be a one-way communication unless, but again, sometimes you'll use it as a setup. But a lot of times people will do crowd work and it's not even picking on you. Like, I know one guy, the majority of his set, his 45 minutes, is crowd work. But it's like, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, and then he tells a bunch of accountant jokes. And they'll be like, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm an engineer. And then he has the engineer jokes ready to go. So, it's just more of that kind of dialogue and interaction than actually getting picked on. That doesn't surprise me, though, at a theater. Because that, I mean, if anybody's ever seen Kings of Comedy, boy.
Oh, yeah. Harvey will come after you.
Steve Harvey was just murdering old boy. Yeah, left his jacket.
Russell Peters will do the same thing?
He seems like a guy that's overly sensitive.
Who?
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I've never met him. But when you get that big, here's the thing. When you get as big as those guys are, everybody wants your attention. Everybody wants something from you. I could see where you'd be like, just leave me alone. Like, don't talk to me. Don't, you know what I mean? So I could see that. But I don't know about being sensitive on stage. I don't know. I don't think you'd want to mess with him. Quick-witted. But
quick with other
know.
Things too, like hook and jab and haymaker. I don't want to be I'll tell you what. I know a lot of things in life that you can debate. One thing I don't think many people debate on, you never want to be on the receiving end of a Mike Tyson punch.
Nope.
Cuz that dude was devastating. Talk about a guy that was almost, for as much as he accomplished in his career, if he could have just kept the straight and narrow path, that dude was He could destruct anybody in seconds. He was devastating, that guy.
Yep, he was indeed. I don't know how some of those people's heads stayed on their shoulders. But he was fun to watch. But, boy, it would piss you off when you pay for a pay-per-view and you get 45 seconds of
no doubt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's definitely a good point. Because it didn't take long at all. And he was done. Bye. Let's go party with white tigers and pigeons.
Right. Can we talk non-sports food for a minute?
Sure.
I saw this thing on Culture Map.
And look at you.
And it was yesterday. And
were
I wanted
perusing
to.
Perusing a company website?
What? Are you doing that on company time, Barry?
CultureMap.com.
Yeah, CultureMap.com has this thing. Chili's slashes 50 items from its menu, but beefs up the burgers, fajitas, and baby back ribs. Because I'm curious. So here are some of the things that they cut. And I would be interested to see if either of you have ordered any of these options.
I really want to know what they cut.
Right. So mango tilapia. Who's going to Chili's?
Yeah.
And getting the mango tilapia.
Buy tilapia.
Right. Crispy asparagus.
Seriously.
No, you get the tilapia, don't you?
No, buy tilapia. No. I don't like many fish dishes.
Crispy asparagus. Buffalo fried cauliflower. Jalapeno wings. Okay. Loaded white queso. All right, rest in peace, loaded white queso. That's sad.
Yeah, but their queso wasn't that good. So
I don't
okay
like
white.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We went and had Chili's, and you had that, right?
I don't wasn't like that
white
good.
Not great. Well, that's racist, Joel. You don't
it
like
is.
White queso?
I don't like white queso.
You're racist.
I like the
racist.
The traditional yellow.
The yellow
I'm
cheddar,
with you there.
Yep.
Racist. You guys are racist.
Barry Hills' white queso is not bad. I know you're a Lupe tortilla guy, but yeah, no more free plugs.
Only by choice, not by choice, by the fact that geographically it's the closest
right
one.
The Southwest chicken soup is gone. The Southwest mac and cheese.
Wait a second.
That one you might feel a little bit of a tear in your beer over.
Margarita salad, turkey and chicken sandwich, prime rib fajitas and carnitas fajitas, some steak. I don't know what the hell that is. Grass-fed burger, prime rib fresh Mex bowl, margarita chicken bowl, chicken cheese and beef enchiladas. Like a lot of this, nobody's going to Chili's. Like I feel like when you go to Chili's, you just get a burger. You don't get fancy at Chili's. You don't get
Chili's kind of
spicy shrimp tacos
like their,
and pork carnitas.
Bar food, like their,
exactly.
their appetizers and things
yep,
like that.
The
right?
sampler, the chicken yes. crispers, the there's a bunch of stuff you can
the
order.
Triple berry crumble cake is no longer available.
Your who's, own crumble cake is gone?
I know. Who's getting that? I don't understand that. But that's, yeah, they've got a list. If you want to, you just go to culturemap.com. It's from yesterday. It was Teresa Gubbins? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Don't look at me for help
Gubbins?
On that one.
Gubbins?
There.
Gubbins?
She works under the same umbrella. You should know how to pronounce her name.
Yeah, no
should
doubt.
I?
Thanks,
I don't know
Nick.
How to pronounce her name
Thanks
either.
For putting that out there. Yeah.
Nick was telling me last break exactly how to pronounce it.
I hate you guys so much right now.
Well, CultureMap.com. If you need to know anything and everything going on in the city of Houston, Texas, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
It's your one-stop
shop. I wonder how much they would charge me to get my comedy show on there. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait.
Fee, Barry.
Yeah, I know. I'm going
to
wait until I headline
You'd
a room.
Sell a lot.
Whether I headline
koozies.
A night or a weekend, I'm going to see how much they charge me.
So,
yeah.
How much are you selling your koozies for, by the way?
$5.
I'd pay $5.
Yeah.
You sell enough koozies,
you
get time on Culture Map.
Oh, really? Yep. Is that the case? I usually buy 100 for a weekend, and my last weekend, I sold out in 4 shows. So.
Oh, that's a good list of pocket
coin. Not bad. I mean, it pays for gas and stuff on the road, you know. But NASCAR Johnny was asking how much they are.
What's your
$5
return
bucks.
On investment?
I'm not telling you that.
I just thought
it's
I'd
enough
ask.
To pay for gas.
Hey, that's a good sign.
That's right.
All right, so we continue to roll on with the show. We've got a lot more to get to, and sports and non-sports, because we keep kind of keeping it fresh. What would you think about having to do an interview with someone that was the person that had your job before you succeeded them when they got fired?
I don't know.
That'd be kind of awkward.
Right.
That's going to possibly happen this weekend in this town. So we'll talk to you about that and a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident.
Not twice.
And male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Out of my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects back on ESPN 97.5. Reminder, ESPN's Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans, joining us at 3:30 to talk a little Texans Patriots and other things, as we talked about to open the show. If you did miss any portion of the show, please go back and check it out on the podcast. And check out the website while you're at it. We mentioned if you want to know what's going on in Houston, to get to culturemap.com. But check out ESPN975.com and all your favorite shows and all your favorite information on your favorite shows right there at your fingertips. Right?
Right.
So before the break, I was
telling you. SportsMap.com dropping soon, too.
October 1st, SportsMap 94.1.
Yep.
Well, that's the radio. The website's supposedly dropping pretty
next
soon
week.
As well. Is it
next
week?
Week, okay. I think? Yeah.
Yep.
So Fred has more to do because Fred is heading up the SportsMap portion of the program. But SportsMap and CultureMap are both great follows for everything going on in sports and culturally everything with Houston. As well as the fact that starting October 1st, 1560 is no more, and 94.1, the sports map, comes onto your FM dial. That means there's no reason for sports fans to ever tune on the AM again. You've got two fantastic FM stations all at your fingertips. Woohoo! See what I did there?
I like it. I like it.
So before the break, I was telling you about the fact that Texas Tech's playing U of H this weekend, Nick. You know, your school. Big game. Cougs look good. Texas Tech, very, very explosive offense. Cliff Kingsbury, the coach there now. He succeeded Tommy Tuberville, who was fired. Oh, lo and behold, Tommy Tuberville is doing the game this weekend for TV. And you know how those things go. The coach has to sit down with the broadcast crew, have a little discussion. Needless to say, Cliff Kingsbury, not too happy about all that.
Were you surprised to see that your predecessor, Tommy Tuberville, was calling the same for ESPN?
How did I know that was coming? Yeah, I mean, they're going to do what they need to do. So, I just coach football. I don't know how that's going to work, Don. We'll see.
Does he always sound like that?
I was going to say... You know, chicks dig him for some reason.
Got that,
they all think, but
he's dreamy. He's so dreamy.
He's dreamy, and he sounds like that, and you kind of believe he had a bender the night before.
I was going to say, he sounds hungover.
Yeah.
Either that, or he sounds like he stayed up all night watching film.
If you know what I mean. Yeah. I got you. Yes.
Yeah. He had that gruff, that just coming off of sick, sounding sexy voice, or hungover or something.
That would be a little bit awkward, though.
Yeah, it would. It would be real weird to have to...
It'd be like you and I on Radio Row interviewing Russillo and Cannell.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
That would be a little awkward.
I think that's a decent... That's a good example.
Right?
I don't know how I would...
But now it wouldn't be as awkward because we could just make fun of him for being naked.
I was going to say, at least we weren't naked in the wrong person's room.
I don't know. I mean, something like that, I probably would just ask really awkward questions to embrace the awkwardness in the moment. Like, I'd be like, well, what would you say the three reasons why you lost the job are so that we don't do that? Like, I would ask questions like that just to keep it... You know what I mean? Like,
but he would roll with that, I think.
I think that's the thing. If you do something like that, you take that edge off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that helps.
Icebreaker.
Yeah. You have to.
And a ball breaker all at the same time.
You kind of have to acknowledge it. You know what I mean? You
got
to acknowledge the weirdness.
But it
would still be awkward. I mean, if I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't want to.
No, that would be kind of tough. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you would think, and from a network perspective, I think you're not looking for controversy doing a college football game. I get it if you're like TMZ or, you know, E or something like that, and you're trying to get that story. And get that kind of build up and exposure around it. But as the network going in, wouldn't you be respectful and say, okay, Tommy's not going to join that media session. He'll do the other coach, and we'll have the play-by-play guy alone do the session with Kingsbury.
Yeah, I would
just to kind of handle it above board, because you don't want it to be awkward. You may never, you know, you may see this team again. You know, you may have them on your network again. U of H is having off to a good start. You know, whether it be a bowl game or otherwise, you're going to cross paths with him again. And look, he may do it graciously this time, but say, I'm done doing that crap. Never again. Now, I've seen that happen. Coaches will say all the right things and make it through the interview, and the minute the door shuts, grab the PR guy and go, never again.
Yeah.
Period.
I'd imagine that.
I mean, you look at the Cam Newton. Remember Cam Newton was upset, not last Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl before. They didn't pull that in Houston. When, you know, they didn't bring the losers next to the winners because they learned from the last year, you know. They're not going to put them right there to where they can hear each other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So from a network perspective, when you maybe you don't know the scenario going in, you didn't pay that much attention, and someone points it out to you and goes, hey, by the way, you're going to have the guy that got fired and the guy that took his job in the room at the same time. Maybe you want to tweak that.
Well, what if they did that to us? What if they were like, all right, we're moving Nate and Crate from the National, and we're replacing you guys with Nate and Crate from 1 to 4, but we'd like for them to join your show in the last week.
To promote it.
Yeah. How would you handle that? What would you do?
I'm pretty sure there would be more than a few off would you make color it weird? Remarks.
I mean, I probably would make it awkward, but I don't think I'd make it weird. You got to be professional.
I'd go at it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You would?
I would.
And you try to fight
subtly,
them?
Subtly.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would keep it professional because that's part of the deal. I mean, you know at some point this show ain't going to last forever. We're not going to last forever. I mean, you get it. That's when you get into radio. All good things come to an end in radio. Now, whether you move up, you move back, you move on, that's to be determined. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think it would still be awkward to have to talk to your replacement live on air or in any kind of situation where the public can see it.
I totally agree with
that.
That'd
be creepy.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you're asking a lot of people that probably don't want to be in that predicament or situation in the first place.
Yeah.
But then to try and keep it professional, I think in a lot of cases it may start out that way, but I don't think it's going to take much to get it going south in a hurry.
No, I ain't going to lie. I would be petty as hell. I would. I am not going to lie.
You said the diplomatic thing there, but I'm worried about a different Barry.
I would be petty in the questions that I asked and the attitude I threw out, but I would still try to be professional enough to where I wouldn't like derail it so bad. I would just try to make it funny. But I do that anyways. I mean, I ask awkward questions of people on the show all the time. So it wouldn't really be that different.
Like your favorite D joke?
Right. That's a great point. Yeah. Well, I just skip that one. Well, see, okay. I can be professional.
Yeah.
I had a plan. See, the best laid plans, right?
That's right.
By the way, Lauren Pope.
Yes.
Confirming on Twitter for all the world to see, I think I've had the mango tilapia before.
Really? What?
Does it surprise you that the Aggie got the mango tilapia?
I can understand that.
Is that a chick food?
Chick fish? Food, yeah, kind of healthy option at a not-so-healthy place to eat. Because we're talking about it being like a bar food place. So you can go with the mango tilapia and feel like you're staying somewhat healthy.
I mean, I guess.
Without going full-blown salad.
I'll do it after the break. I don't want to make us go long. We've been going long the whole time. But I have a question for you guys about fruit. What the hell is this? What is this?
Is that Steve Martin again?
Billy Crystal, you look marvelous.
Oh, you look marvelous.
Joel lit up for that. Did you see his face?
I'm a big Billy Crystal
fan. You like
fan.
Him? Okay.
His impersonations and his characters are great.
Trill Phil said this show will last forever, damn it.
It better.
He said he'd boycott the Blitz. I don't know why. They wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Why would you boycott them?
You never know. They might. AJ, you know.
don't start none. There won't be none.
You look marvelous. Let me tell you something, Donnie. It's better to look good than to feel good.
All right. So right now, I want to tell you guys about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program here in the Houston area, and it's all because of people like you making donations. I know that everybody's gone through a lot of heartache with Hurricane Harvey, but now when the insurance companies are coming in, a lot of times you're left with a vehicle not running, and they're just telling you, well, get rid of it. We're already taking care of it with whatever we're going to give you, and you don't know what to do. Well, now let me give you an idea on what you can do that can make a difference. If you call Houston Cans Cars for Kids at 713-225-4226, or you log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com, and you tell them what you got and you're trying to make a donation, whether it's working or not, they'll do the rest. They'll make it easy, and you'll make a difference in the lives of kids trying to get a second chance at an education. Could be a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer, a truck, or a car. And like I said, tell them where you live, tell them what you got. They come get it. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You also get a gift card from ESPN 90, a $50 gift card for mentioning ESPN 97.5. And that's when the process really begins. They turn your donation into resources, and they get the kids the things they need so they're not distracted when trying to get an education. It could be hot meals. It could be eyeglasses, bus fare, or book money. All kinds of things, all provided because of resources that you make with your donations. Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. It's a program that's great, and it works here in Houston. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.